Sarva Shastra Vidyusha, Sarva Vedaika Satpala, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya, Sarva Lokaika Jishpada, Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu, Pralidvadu Nidaditya, Sri Krishna Parivartita, Paramananda Mataya, Vibhavashashadayati, Sarvada Sarvasivyaya, Sri Krishnaya Namostume, Madhikavando Matsangi, Madhuru Madhmahadana, Madhistaraka Madhvagya, Madhadana Namostute, Asadu Sadu Tadai, Adihi Chochatakara, Ama Mucha Kadachinma, Vindadit Kantayotspura. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 I'm not sure what verse it is, but today's verse? 18? Okay.
Tata Arabhya Nandasya Rajat Sarva Samriddhiman Harir Nivas Atma Gunai
Rama
Pidam Abun Dvipa Tata Arabhyanandasya Vajat Sarva Samriddhiman Harir Nivas Atma Gunai Ramakvirdam Abun Dvipa Tata Arabhya.
Beginning from that time,
Nandasya,
of Maharaj Nanda,
Rajaha,
Rajabhumi,
the land for protecting and breeding cows.
Sarva Samriddhima,
became opulent with all kinds of riches.
Hare Nivasa,
of the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Atmagunaihi,
by the transcendental qualities.
Rama Akridam,
the place of pastimes for the goddess of fortune.
Abhut,
became.
Dvipa,
O king.
Maharaj Parikshit.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
O Maharaj Parikshit, the home of Nanda Maharaj is eternally the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his transcendental qualities, and is therefore always naturally endowed with the opulence of all wealth. Yet beginning from Lord Krishna's appearance there, it became the place for the pastimes of the goddess of fortune. Purport. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasam Brahma Sevyamanam Govindamari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami. the abode of Krishna, is always served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Wherever Krishna goes, the goddess of fortune naturally resides with him. The chief of the goddesses of fortune is Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Krishna's appearance in the land of Vraja indicated that the chief goddess of fortune, Radharani, would also appear there very soon. Nanda Maharaj's abode was already opulent, and since Krishna had appeared, it would be opulent in all respects. So, the goddess of fortune, the consort of Narayana, was very attracted to join Krishna's pastime. She wanted to enter the rasa dance, and she performed severe austerities for that purpose, but she didn't succeed. Goddess Lakshmi, Mahalakshmi, the wife of Narayana, is not allowed to enter the Krishna, the Vrindavan Leela. But here it said that the house of Nanda Maharaj, or Nanda's Vraja, Vraja is this whole district, but here it's called Nandasya Vraja, the Vraja of Nanda. Why? Isn't that redundant? Vraja is a place. By calling it Vraja, you've already uniquely defined it. Why do you have to call it Nanda's Vraja and not somebody else's Vraja? There's only one Vraja. I don't know any other place, any district in India that calls itself Vraja besides this one. So why do we have to distinguish Nanda's Vraja? Because the word here actually originally means cowherd pasture, or the place where the cows wander. So this is Nanda's cowherd district, cowherding district. There are many places where cows are kept. You can go outside of Vraja into other parts of UP or Haryana, and people are keeping some cows also. And you can call it a Vraja in that sense, a cow pasturing place. Vraja is also the name of a cowherd community, very often a nomadic one. It doesn't stay in one place. It's called a Vraja. Vraja means to move. So this is the place where Nanda Maharaj kept his cows. And he didn't just keep them pent up in a barn. Those cows wandered all over this 84 crore circumference area. Large area. But this whole area, this whole Vraja Mandala, Shukadev says right here, became, with the appearance of Krishna, became the playground of Goddess Lakshmi, Rama. We can understand this maybe two different ways at least. One is that she was actually present, but invisibly. She couldn't join the rasa dance. That she wasn't allowed, even with all her austerities, but she was allowed to come in the back door and display all her opulences. You know, she's the goddess Lakshmi is in charge of opulence. Everybody worships her. Anybody who wants wealth, you go to Lakshmi. Even the people, the Westerners who don't know anything about Narayana, but they worship Lakshmi in the form of Lady Luck. Las Vegas, you know, her Murti is on the casinos. You know, they worship Lady Luck to win in their gambling. This is a goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. Of course, it's the material Lakshmi. Lakshmi has her material expansions. Goddess Lakshmi is the husband, the wife of Narayana. She has no material business. She doesn't cater to the material desires of mundane conditioned souls. But her expansion in the material world is there. And she's the one who reciprocates and rewards the requests of the materialists. But the dukandars, you know, before starting their business, get a couple of sticks of incense out of their cash register and wave it at Lakshmi, hoping that she'll fill up that cash register. It's the
material expansion of Lakshmi. The Lakshmi in the material world, who's accepting that worship and giving them whatever profits they receive. But in the material world and the spiritual world, this is Lakshmi, who's providing all the opulences. Material world, people are struggling to get a little bit of wealth. Spiritual world, everybody has more wealth than they can use. The opulence of Vaikuntha is unimaginable by even the most rich materialist, the most ambitious materialist, cannot imagine the opulence of Vaikuntha. The place is made of jewels. The atmosphere is completely transcendental, full of bliss. And anything you want, you can pick off a tree. So this kind of riches, you cannot, you may be very proud that your city has very nice shopping malls, but no place where you can just go everything and get everything you want by picking it off a tree. But in the spiritual world, that's all available. This same goddess of fortune that provides all these opulences of Vaikuntha is also present in Vrajadham. If we read this verse the one way, that the goddess Lakshmi is actually present but invisible. And as we discussed yesterday, Gokula, Krishna's personal abode on this planet, is more opulent than Vaikuntha. But the opulence is eclipsed. It becomes invisible because the sweetness of Krishna, his pastimes, and the love of his devotees is so brilliant that you don't even see the opulence. Certainly, I don't think we see the opulence here. We see garbage, we see people smoking biddies and begging for some small change and filth in the streets and, you know, practically a wilderness. This is what we see with our eyes. The opulence is there, but we don't see it. That's because of our material vision. But the devotees who do see Krishna's Madhurya, who do participate in the wonderful attractions of Krishna and everything about him, they are so absorbed in that Madhurya, that sweetness, that the opulence is nothing to them. Just like the ground is made of sand. We don't think much of it, we just walk on it. We don't treasure, although here we should, but normally we don't treasure the dirt that we walk on. We just take it for granted. So the Vrijavasis who are enjoying Krishna's sweetness, all the opulences, the jewels, the gold, the fine houses, the furniture, they don't even notice. It means nothing to them. They have it. They have more than if I could do. But they don't even see it. They're thinking they're living, they're villagers, and they're living very simply. And the other interpretation which Prabhupada focused on in this purport is that goddess of fortune here means the supreme goddess of fortune, Srimati Radharani. And she's actually the provider of all the supreme opulences of Vrajadham. Both are true. And the Brahma Samhita uses this terminology. That Govinda, in this Goloka, is served by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis. Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasam Brahma Savya Mano. It is not that they, you know, just like your maid servant, your rich person, and your black maid may come from the other side of town, commute, to go work in your house. So it's not like these Lakshmis are from Vaikuntha, and they're commuting from Vaikuntha to work in Goloka every day. It's not that kind of Lakshmi. These are the gopis, hundreds and thousands of gopis. You're not going to find four-handed, you know, Lakshmis from Vaikuntha running around Vrajadham. These are the gopis. Lakshmi here means gopi, and the supreme Lakshmi is Srimati Radharani. That's the second interpretation, which Prabhupada focuses on here. Especially when Krishna is present, all opulence is manifest. Krishna is eternally present in Vrajadam, but it is invisible form.
Matura mandalo yatra nityam sannihito harihi.
Matura mandala is the place where Krishna is eternally present. But sannihita can also mean hidden, hiding. Most of the time he's hiding. Only for the brief period, once in every day of Brahma, 125 years, is he publicly visible. The rest of the time he's hiding, and only a few very privileged devotees can see him. To see Krishna's, to be able to actually see Krishna's invisible pastimes, his aprakrita lila, which are going on eternally right here. We're sitting on top of them. We're walking through them every day. We don't see them. And only a few devotees see them. And it's not even a matter. Jiva Goswami makes the point that even devotees who are qualified, who are spiritually deserve to see Krishna's pastimes, they've earned the right, still Krishna withholds it. Because he wants them to become even more intense in their feelings of separation and anxiety to be connected, to actually have Krishna's association. So Krishna doesn't show even the devotees who deserve to see. Only a few, and sometimes only a glimpse here and there. These pastimes, what's going on internally is usually invisible to almost everybody. The visible opulences are there during Krishna's presence, and that's only a short time, a few years, very rarely. So don't be disappointed that Vrajadam doesn't look the way it's supposed to look. This is the actual arrangement. When Krishna goes away, when his visible pastimes are finished, his prakrita lila, his public appearance is finished, then the opulences of Vraja disappear. They began to disappear very quickly after Krishna's leaving. Even when he left to go across the river to Mathura, things started to fall apart. The Yamuna River started drying up. The rock Govardhan started collapsing, rock boulders just falling off of Govardhan. And that's how he began to shrink. That happened immediately. Even after Krishna is just going into Mathura, what to speak of is leaving this world. So Vrindavan, to our eyes, has reverted back to a wilderness. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here 500 years ago, that's what he saw, was just a jungle. Hardly inhabited by human beings at all. A few aborigines. And Mathura city had some leftover brahmanas who didn't even go to Dwarka 5,000 years before. So that when Krishna took everybody to Dwarka from Mathura city, some brahmanas and some monkeys stayed behind. So that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw 5,000 years later when he went. These Chaturvedi brahmanas and monkeys. And practically the whole district, outside of the city, the whole district was practically uninhabited by human beings. This is what was seen 500 years ago. And then when Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Lokanath, Das Goswami, others tried to take up residence in Vrindavan, they had to deal with living in a wilderness, in a jungle. Having to face the dangers of tigers, panthers, snakes, and having no facilities for living. We think it's difficult to live out here. At least there's municipal water some of the time. There's electricity some of the time. The tigers have gone away. I don't know if there's any tigers at all in Vraja District anymore. It's relatively speaking, it's become easier to live here. And you go to, if you really need comfort, you can go to Vrindavan. You know, everything's available there. But the fact is, when Krishna leaves, when he goes away and is not visibly present, then also the opulences aren't visible anymore. And 10,000 years from now, it will all be invisible. Govardhan will be underground. Yamuna will be gone. The whole district will be invisible. At least now we still see some vestiges, and they're very slowly disappearing. That, unfortunately, is the way it is. Even though it's very difficult to gain entrance into Krishna's invisible realm, his invisible pastimes, we have to strive for that. We have to actually establish contact with Krishna through our chanting, through our meditation, through our service. It's not enough just to come here. Now, if you come here with material vision, material attitude, you won't get your proper connection with Krishna. You must establish your service relationship. You must hear very carefully. Otherwise, you won't discover Krishna. You'll just discover Bihari Lals and Moy Bazar. Because Krishna is hiding. We have to discover him. He will show himself to the devotees who are very sincere. But it's just the fact of life that we missed his visible pastimes. Anyway, even those who did see him, not all of them could take full advantage, not all could fully appreciate. Even those who were present 5,000 years ago. Maybe some of us were in a different body. Whatever the unfortunate situation is, that we have a hard time seeing Krishna, we have to work on that. By the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, if we satisfy him with our service attitude, try to contribute something useful according to our capacity to fulfilling his mission, then we can be blessed with this, you know, with the consciousness by which we can actually awaken our relationship with Krishna. Tesham Nityabi, what is it? Hama Gyana Jam Tamaha Nashayanya Bhavastu. What is that beginning? What is the beginning of that shloka?
Tesham Vanu Kampakta.
Tesham. What's the previous verse?
Tesham Sata Yuktam.
Okay, Tesham Sata Yuktam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Didami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mahu Vriyanti Te. Those who are constantly engaged in devotional service. Yukta, yoga, they're constant yogis, but they're hooked up not in impersonal yoga, not in just calisthenic yoga, but devotional practice. What matters is the constancy. It doesn't matter how prominent or famous your service is, how charismatic it is, or how much money you've collected. What matters is the constancy. If you can show Krishna that he can trust you, and you show Krishna that you trust him, that is the most important thing. That is the foundation of a real relationship. Even if you have no special abilities, even if you can't work wonders and attract thousands of followers, if you can just be trustworthy and show your trust that you trust Krishna, then you're achieving your perfection. Because Krishna says, Nashayanava Bhavastu, I'm sitting in their hearts, and for those sincere devotees, I dispel the darkness of ignorance with transcendental knowledge. And I give them the intelligence by which they can establish their relationship with me and come be with me eternally. We should be confident of that. This is our process of devotional service. It's very simple. Even though what we're trying to achieve is practically impossible. We can't even see the goal. We don't even know. We have no inkling of what Krishna Prema actually is like. It's a taste that we have no idea of. An experience we have no idea of. We're hearing about it theoretically from those who have experienced it. But we are not fit yet to know what it is. We have to act on trust. that this is the most desirable thing, to have Krishna Prema. Even though we don't know what it is. That takes a lot of faith. To be dedicating your life to achieve something that you can't even evaluate, because you can't see it. You can't have a sample of it. Not until you're ready. But we're convinced that we should dedicate our lives to try to achieve loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. We just have to become faithful, trusting and trustworthy servants. And Krishna will give us the intelligence by which we can come to Him. And we can even enter His invisible pastimes and be with Him forever. Okay, are there any questions or comments?
The material expansion of Lakshmi Devi, can you tell? Durga?
No, Lakshmi.
Lakshmi.
The Mahalakshmi, the Gajo Lakshmi, and all these different forms of Lakshmi. That the materialists want her. What makes her material is that materialists are trying to approach her. So as soon as a materialist tries to come near her, she turns into her material expansion. It's the attitude of the worshipper is what makes her material. She'll stay spiritual as long as no materialist tries to come near her. But a materialist tries to worship her, she hides behind her material expansion. Same name, Lakshmi. Same appearance, but now she's not quite the same.
Yes, my question. Would that be like similar to the Lakshmi was kidnapped by Ravana?
Yes. Yes. That's a criminal act. Even those who are not, trying to perform worship, still it's materialistic worship. It is criminal in a sense. You're trying to exploit. It was like it's guru droha, guru bhoga. Trying to harm the guru or trying to exploit the guru. Both are bad. So you can be Ravana and try to harm Ram by stealing his wife, or you can worship Ram by worshiping his wife. But it's also bad. It's not as bad, but it's exploitation of the consort of the Supreme Lord. Trying to get something out of her. It's, maybe you don't consider it criminal, but it is criminal in a way also. To try to exploit Krishna's energy is also criminal. To try to steal it is bad, but even by pious means to try to take advantage of Krishna's personal energy, that's also bad. Thank you.
That material expansion, she's the Lakshmi who appeared when the milk ocean was churned?
I don't think so, because she took Narayan as her husband directly. So that in the milk ocean, Narayan was present. He was present in a few forms. Kurman was there, Dhanvantari was there, Mohini Murti, these were all Narayan. So material Lakshmi isn't going to appear when her original husband is there. The one who garlanded and married Narayan is the original Lakshmi, the Vaikuntha Lakshmi.
Okay.
There is a Prabhupada talks about a Vishnu who's a demigod. He's got the name Vishnu, but he's not the original Vishnu. Just the namesake. Just like you can look at the phone book and find lots of people called Vishnu Sharma or something. So this is Vishnu demigod. He's not the original Vishnu, and he's in charge of the foot. He's the presiding deity of the foot. The original Vishnu, with his feet, he covered the three feet, footsteps, he covered the universe, Trivikrama. So the demigod, who's in charge of the foot, everybody's foot, is Vishnu, but that's not the original Vishnu. So you could say that's a material expansion of Narayan. But it's just another demigod.
When we approach operational material, is it turned to the material or not?
Yeah. In the Panchopasana organized by Shankaracharya, Narayan is one of the five deities you can worship. But it's all materialistic. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he termed this the philosophized vision. That not that he becomes material, but as they worship me, I reward them accordingly. So someone comes to the Supreme Lord with material motives, he's just going to reciprocate accordingly. He'll give them some material benefits. We don't have to say that that's, he's turned into something else. Narayan doesn't become material. But he's just giving material benefits to those who worship him with completely material motives. Like the very popular Satyanarayan Puja, Satyanarayan Gata. It's materialistic. It's for material purposes. And Satyanarayan has his deity form, Tirunarayan. That's the original Satyanarayan in Yadkoti, Karnataka. So he's Vishnu. But the people who are worshipping are so materialistic that they're not getting any real connection with Vishnu. You know, he's just letting them have some material benefits, and usually it's his deputies, demigods, who actually give the rewards. So Vishnu is Vishnu. But if you approach him materially, you won't get any real relationship. He'll just give you something and send you away. And probably he'll ask his secretary to arrange to give you something. But scare away the materialists.
And he says that it's just that New York attracts them from Raghun Gold of Austin by the nature of what Maya's working.
Yes. Yes. If you're attracted to Vrindavan, then you're a devotee. But we should be attracted and also enter the actual mood of Vrindavan. We shouldn't be here to enjoy your control.
Yep.
Just remembering Ramas Mahuya, there's a similar thing with the Lakshmi situation. There's Brahma got initiated by Devi Saraswati, who's the wife of Vishnu.
Yes, spiritual.
So he's going to reduce the transcendental knowledge. But in the material world, there's Saraswati, who's the wife of Lord Brahma, and she's in charge of giving the materialists their material knowledge.
Yes. All the demigods have got spiritual prototypes in Vaikuntha, who are attendants of Lord Narayan in his court. You can find all the demigods in their original spiritual forms. They're devotees, if I come to devotees of Narayan. Saraswati's there too. Pure Saraswati.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, bro.
You mentioned that even for the worthy devotees, so qualified devotees, the pastimes of Krishna is not open. So Krishna is not. So can we say that so it is not possible from one side to get absorbed completely in the pastimes of Krishna, I mean, in the Prakantas?
No, when Krishna chooses, he can show. But often he chooses not to show. He waits. He waits until the devotee becomes very anxious. So it's not that he never shows, but he's hesitant to show too quickly. It's not impossible, difficult.
But I mean, when he really become a member of those pastimes, when it's not in one of Vrindavan, he goes to Vrindavan.
No. When you actually have developed your relationship with Sarupa, and your relationship with Krishna, then you've already entered. You've entered the invisible pastimes.
And it is possible in one of Vrindavan, I'm impressed.
Yes. Okay. It's even possible being physically present in Mumbai or someplace else. You don't have to be physically present. The physical location doesn't matter. In your heart, you should reside in Praja. At least, it helps to be physically present, but you can be physically somewhere else. Okay? Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.